fighting for America.
Hamas is a ruthless terrorist organization. It wants to sacrifice its own people. It uses them as human shields. Israel is not obliged and is not going to let a terrorist organization fire at our cities, at our people.
Fighting for Idaho.
This all has to start with securing the border, not writing the president a blank check to keep doing what he's doing that's not working. Wouldn't it be good to actually allow the governors of those border states to be able to call the National Guard and to help secure the border?
Fighting for you.
She reaches down into her bra, which I'm cool with that. That part's okay. It's sort of sexy.
This is a family value show.
I was just trying to add a little spice.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the morning.
It's something I'll never forget as long as I live.
On 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580 KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning. Welcome to Monday, everybody. 580 KIDO, look for triple digits. Larry Gebert from Channel 7 will be along with the very latest. We're joined by our great friend Ed Klein here at 580 KIDO. Ed Klein, of course, so many books. We've got The Amateur. We've got the Katie Couric book. We have Blood Feud, the real-life story between the Clintons and the Obamas. Ed, good to have you with us one more time.
It's great to be with you again. Thank you so much.
You know, Ed, before we get to the latest with the president, I have to go back to this Katie Couric book because, you know, last time we talked, you talked about that you ran into her and you did a lot of research and everything else. Are you really surprised that outside the Today Show, she's gone from anchoring the news to being a talk show host on the ABC network, to being a correspondent, to all of a sudden now going to Yahoo TV? She's kind of fallen off the chart after the Today Show.
She has, and that's because her talent resides in doing the perky morning news, the perky morning interviews, and not in serious journalism. And every time she's tried serious journalism, it hasn't worked. And that's not to say that she's not a talented woman, because she certainly has talent, as we've seen in the Today Show, but it doesn't extend to serious journalism.
Why do you believe she just never went back to the Today Show?
I guess, she had done that, been there, done that, and didn't feel that she wanted to repeat herself. You know, she just recently got married. I guess you know that.
Yeah.
And, to a banker, I believe. And I don't think she needs the money anymore. She's made tens of millions of dollars in her career, and he's a wealthy guy, too. So right now she's Yahoo's roving interviewer. And as you say, that's a little different than being on the Today Show. But you know, the whole world is migrating to the internet. So perhaps she knows something you and I don't know.
Perhaps Ed Klein with us here. Ed, let's talk a little bit about Blood Feud. A lot of people, after we have you on, say, "Well, Ed Klein doesn't do this. His facts aren't correct." And I'm thinking, Ed Klein, when dealing with the Clintons and the Obamas, as we've talked about before, you have to have everything correct because the ramifications would be huge.
That's right. And, you know, the interesting thing is, as I think I've said before, they love to attack you personally and try to slime you. But if they find one fact, they're going to accuse you of getting something wrong. And they haven't been able to find a single fact in Blood Feud that's wrong. So I dismiss all their criticisms from the Clintons and the Obamas as just, you know, more of the same political nonsense. The fact of the matter is, as we've seen, as time goes on, the Clintons, especially Hillary Clinton, is distancing herself more and more from Obama's failed foreign policy, even though she herself was there at the beginning of the foreign policy. And it's funny and pretty difficult to say, you know, I was there, but I'm not taking any responsibility for it.
Ed Klein with us, Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. How tough is it going to be to list accomplishments? Let's go back to her Senate days, back to her days as the First Lady. What has she really done?
Well, that's a very good question. I don't think that she can point to anything, really. I mean, certainly Hillary Care was a disaster. We know that. It almost cost her husband re-election. And her million-mile sprint as Secretary of State during the 4 years that she worked with Obama came up with zero, zilch, nada. There's nothing that she can point to. In fact, if anything, there are huge problems that I think she was part of creating, like the reset with Russia and encouraging Vladimir Putin to think he could push the United States around, which he has been doing pretty successfully ever since, or Benghazi, where she refused to secure our mission in that place and then later on lied about what the cause of the attack was. So she, Hillary's got a real problem in looking at her record and trying to run on that record.
And as someone who has worked in journalism, has studied journalism, taught journalism, what do you make of the media today? I mean, here you have this book that spells out the facts. We go back to the amateur. We go back to the truth about Hillary. We go back to all your research. We go back to the proof, and we go to Blood Feud, where Hillary Clinton was very apprehensive about how to deal with Benghazi, and it's revealed over the weekend that we've evacuated our embassy in Libya, and yet the folks in the media treat it as an afterthought.
Well, it's true. It's very interesting that the other day, Madeleine Albright was on one of the Sunday talk shows, I guess it was yesterday, and she said the world is a mess. And then she didn't take the next step. Why is the world a mess? And that was, the, of course, the subject of a recent piece that I wrote. And the world is a mess because it's a very simple reason. We, the United States, are the indispensable nation. If we don't exercise our influence and power properly, which we have not been doing under Barack Obama and during her Secretary of Stateship, Hillary Clinton, the world is going to fall apart, and that's exactly what's happened. The world's a mess because, quite frankly, Barack Obama's let it become a mess.
Hey, Klein, with us, Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. Speaking of a mess, is there anything in your research, whether it's Blood Feud, whether it's the amateur, that would reinforce why the president is ginning up this crisis at the border, just not enforcing the laws, just letting it all go?
Well, you know, he's got a problem, which is, and that's, and this problem, this one problem is obsessing him, and that's how to save himself from losing the Senate in the midterm elections. Because if he loses the Senate, then he doesn't have the House of the Senate, and he's going to be a complete lame duck. And in order to keep the Senate, he's been playing to his base, the left-wing base of the party, which gets to your point about the border. The left-wing base of the party is saying, let them all come in. Let all these kids, these unaccompanied kids, come in. Let's encourage more of them. I mean, they're refugees, and we're going to accept them here in the United States, even though most Americans, I believe, feel that we should be taking care of our own before we start encouraging people to come here illegally and have to take care of them for the rest of their lives. But this is a pure political play to his base to get them to turn out in the midterm elections and save him from losing the Senate.
Ed, let's continue on. Your book is very successful. In fact, a lot more successful than Hillary Clinton. The last time we had you on, the New York Times recognized this. What is this? What's the reaction, do you believe, in the Clinton camp from Bill Clinton with his penthouse there above his presidential library, and Hillary Clinton trying to figure out, you know, how to hit pause and reset?
Well, from what I've been told from my sources in the Clinton camp, Bill has been encouraging Hillary to write another book, believe it or not, even though this one has been a total failure. And that he's urged her to write a book in which he would actually write it herself and not have a committee write it, which is what one of the things that was wrong with the book that just came out, that it was done by a committee and was boring and didn't say anything. And he's urged her to tell the truth about her health, which is not very good, and his health, and her real relationship with Barack Obama, which was very testy during the time she was Secretary of State. And according to these same sources, Hillary has actually been taking notes and is encouraged to do so, and probably will write another book, and this one being more candid than this recent book that just came out. I don't know if that's going to work, and I don't know who's going to pay her to write another book, given the fact that Simon & Schuster has taken a big hit on her memoirs and is going to have to trash an awful lot of books if they're not selling.
Well, that's the interesting point here at 580KIDO, because you get the advances, then it looks like the publisher is going to have to eat this. When we continue on with your research with Blood Feud, I can't help but, at night I'm sitting there, before I go to bed, go, who in their right mind says to their spouse, when I die, take advantage of my death, as you've disclosed about Bill Clinton in Blood Feud? See, to me, Ed, I find that the most fascinating detail in your book. I'm sure, I know there are tons of others, but what about you?
Well, the fact that Bill Clinton is already thinking about how his own death could be turned to an advantage for Hillary is only a Bill Clinton fact. I mean, who else would think of saying that or doing that? But Bill is such a political animal that even in death, he figures he can have some influence on the White House. I agree with you. I think it's amazing that he's told her, put on your widow weeds, dress in black, and the sympathy vote will be worth 2 million votes for president after I die. Just an amazing, amazing fact.
More coming up with our friend Ed Klein here at 580KIDO. Before we go to the break here, Ed, what about Valerie Jarrett? Is she telling the president what to do about the border, what to do about the Ukraine? I mean, this makes the 70s seem rather tranquil compared to the turbulence that we have today.
Well, when Barack Obama went to Texas not so long ago, just a couple of weeks ago, did not visit the border, but he did meet with Governor Perry of Texas. They sat around a table, and right at that table was, in fact, Valerie Jarrett, the president's senior political advisor. Sitting with the President of the United States, the Governor of Texas, and other officials. Now, this, if anybody needed further proof of what I've been writing about in Blood Feud, that Valerie Jarrett is what I call the Tom Hagen of this administration. Remember, Tom Hagen was the consigliere and the godfather.
Right.
She's the person he turns to for advice about everything. And quite frankly, she has zero expertise in most of the areas that she's giving advice on. But she's got such a hold on the president and the first lady, psychological and personal hold on them, that they don't make any decision without turning to Valerie Jarrett.
Ed Klein, please stand by. More coming up with our friend Ed Klein. Kevin Miller in the morning. If you have a question, 580-5436. 580-5436. Let's get you to work.
Weekdays at noon. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning. Ed Klein with us. We enjoy Ed when he surfaces. We get him on as much as possible. Then he goes back to doing more research and shocks the rest of the world. Ed, before we get to the phones here at 580KIDO, you report that there was a physical altercation between Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama?
During a debate they were having over Syria, Hillary lost her temper, which is not unusual for Hillary Clinton, let me tell you, and started poking the president with her forefinger in his chest. He later told Michelle Obama it hurt. And she was outraged, of course, that anybody would even touch the president. The Secret Service was not very pleased either. But that's classic Hillary, I mean, she's been throwing things at Bill all their marriage. And they still get involved in these kind of semi-physical brouhahas, she and Bill, even to this day.
Let's go to David in Boise for Ed Klein with Kevin Miller at 580KIDO. Hello, David.
Hello. Good morning. I just wanted to tell Mr. Klein, I actually just finished reading his book last night. And the reason I read his book was because of hearing these interviews with you on this station when my alarm goes off in the morning. And I enjoyed the book very much, and I think it's an important book that people ought to read. I do have a question, and that is, as far as Hillary Clinton goes, I don't understand her appeal, her mass appeal in this country, when she's just this dreadful shrew of a woman. She was, if you'll remember, reined back by the Vatican when she was First Lady and went to the World Population Conference. And she was a carpetbag senator in Congress. Then she is a Secretary of State whose accomplishments amount to nil. I just don't understand why the country is so enamored with this woman.
Well, I think it's an extremely good question, and I try to answer that question in my new book, Blood Feud, The Clintons versus the Obamas. I think the Democratic Party has what I would call buyer's remorse about nominating and electing Barack Obama. Even liberals tell me, and I live in New York City where there are liberals abound, believe me, everywhere you turn there are liberals. And all my liberal friends are sorely disappointed in Barack Obama and feel that they did something unforgivable by turning their back on Hillary. So I think there's a lot of this idea that she's owed it now, that this idea among liberal Democrats that they owe her this. And that's especially true among a lot of women across this country. But I do agree with the listener that when you look at the record, she sure hasn't earned a shot at the White House.
David, anything else?
No, I would just like to make a recommendation for Mr. Klein, if he hasn't already, and for anybody listening to this, that I have found a pretty fair explanation of these anomalies in American culture, as far as people like Hillary Clinton and Obama popping a prominent position our political structure, and that is Diana West's death of the grown-up does much to explain why we're so easily hoodwinked anymore as a people, and we end up with these one presidency after another that seems to drive our country and our culture further into the
abyss. David, thank you for the call.
Thank you.
All right, 580 KIDO. What's the fixation with Elizabeth Warren, Ed Klein?
The left-wing base of the party, of the Democratic Party, absolutely adores her. She plays to their hatred of wealthy people, of big banks, she plays to the conservationists who want not to have the XL Keystone Pipeline approved. She's a real rabble-rouser, and in that sense, I'm not only being critical, although, of course, she doesn't represent anything that I believe in, but she certainly can get an audience on its feet and passionate, which Hillary Clinton cannot do. There's a sense that the party likes Hillary from its head, but loves Elizabeth Warren from its heart. And if Elizabeth Warren decides, as some people think she may, and certainly as she's being encouraged by the Obama administration, to throw her hat into the ring and challenge Hillary, I think she could give Hillary a real run for her money for the nomination in 2016.
And does this have an overall theme about the lack of trust between the Clintons and the Obamas?
Absolutely. The Obamas do not want to see the Clintons succeed them in the White House for a lot of reasons. Ideologically, they don't agree. Excuse me. The Obamas are left wing, and the Clintons are the more pragmatic wing of the party. But there's also the personal thing. They don't like each other. And the Obamas feel if the Clintons succeed them in the White House, they're going to undo a lot of the Obama policy, whereas Elizabeth Warren would carry it out. So I think you're going to see the president of the United States, Barack Obama, not endorsing Hillary Clinton if he can avoid it. I think if Hillary falls by the wayside, I think Joe Biden is going to throw his hat into the ring. And I think there's a much bigger chance that Obama will support his vice president than he would Hillary Clinton.
How do the Obamas view race?
I'm sorry, say that again, please.
How do the Obamas view race?
Race.
Yes.
Well, that's a good and touchy question,
yeah.
Because there's a lot of feeling that has been expressed by Michelle and Valerie Jarrett that they think the Clintons are as racist as most white people. That's their viewpoint, and they've expressed that viewpoint in many ways. They say that they even hold Hillary responsible for a speech she gave when she was a 21-year-old graduate from Wellesley College, in which she criticized Edward Brooke, the first black senator since Reconstruction. And they think that that was a racist evidence of her racism. I think there's a real sense that the Obamas feel that most, if not all, of the criticism of him is racially motivated. They seem not to be able to accept the fact that the criticism comes from the fact that Obama has bungled both domestic and foreign policy to such a degree that even his one-time supporters are now questioning him.
So you can never be critical of the president because it would all be racially motivated.
That's right. If you're critical of the president, you're accused of being a racist, quite simply. And it's ridiculous and not true.
Ed Klein, finally, Bill Clinton, is he still up to his old shenanigans with the ladies?
Well, you know, I've avoided in my book getting into the details of that because I didn't want that to overwhelm everything else in the book. There is evidence that Bill is still the ladies' man. Even his wife says as much. He certainly has thrown some pretty wild parties there in Little Rock in his penthouse apartment. I've spoken to female interns who work at the library, the William Jefferson Clinton Library, and they tell me that they're pretty, for an old geezer, he throws some pretty wild parties.
Ed Klein, we wish you continued success. We always appreciate your time, sir.
Well, it's a great pleasure to be with you, as always, and thanks for having me.
Okay, bye-bye. There we have it. Ed Klein with us, Kevin Miller in the Morning, New York Times best-selling author. Coming up next, we're going to take a look at the move to impeach the president. We were going back and forth on this over Facebook, and the idea that apparently the administration, can you believe this? The administration wants the Republicans to impeach the president or to make a run at it. We'll find out the latest from Washington there, plus the latest on the border situation. We do want to remember, you know, we're getting ready to go back to school. So, kids, enjoy your time while you have it. And, of course, make sure you keep your pets out of the vehicles. Triple digits coming up throughout the week. So please be very careful. We'll have your forecast with Larry Kemper coming up as well. You're listening to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO.
In Payette, a man faces second-degree murder charges after his ex-girlfriend was found dead in his apartment. He'll be arraigned today.
They were performing CPR on him. He had blood on his face, and it looked like he wasn't breathing at all.
A car slammed into a Nampa house early Saturday morning. Four people got hurt.
Just another manic Monday.
Making sense of a senseless world. Kevin Miller in the Morning on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Hidey-ho. Good morning, Kevin Miller in the Morning, 580 KIDO. Make sure you check us out on Facebook. We're always looking to expand our social media presence. Give us a like and give me an email and tell me what to like. I would love that. And you know, I was hanging out at church last night. Wade came up to me and said, "Hey, how do I get a hold of you?" I said, "The easiest way, and I hate to say it, that I've become a social media sellout." Is Facebook. By the way, if you go to the Kevin Miller Facebook, you'll take a look at the Big Three. We're having the crazy caption contest, and you're thinking, great, you've really sold out. You're going to be like every other radio station. What do I win? A whole lot of nothing. That's right. A whole lot of nothing is what you are going to win with the crazy caption contest. You've got myself looking a little bit more rotund than usual. You've got Liberal Steve on my, let's see, your left, my right, and oh, on my left and your right. So great picture there. We hope you take a look at that. If, in fact, you're members at 580kido.com's Facebook, you'll see the agenda of the program today coming up in the 7 o'clock hour. We will be talking to Dave Pezzo with news about your money. We'll also get the latest from Judicial Watch coming up as well. And by the way, we'll continue to cover the border situation here. Apparently now, the kids crossing the border believe that the president will take care of them. And they're not the only ones. Here's George Will from the Sunday shows.
And we're talking in this case, again, these are not the people from Mexico that are coming across the border. We're talking about people coming from Central America, Honduras, Guatemala, El Salvador, who are treated differently under this 2008 Wilberforce law. We're talking about 57,000 unaccompanied children since October who have come over the border from Central America, and tens of thousands of more of parents with children. How do you respond to Kirsten and her talking about Republicans who don't want to deal with immigration except deporting children? And is there a right way to deal with this problem?
Well, I think Kirsten's largely right. My view is that we ought to say to these children, welcome to America. You're going to go to school and get a job and become Americans. We have 3,141 counties in this country. That'd be 20 per county. The idea that we can't assimilate these 8-year-old criminals with their teddy bears is preposterous. Long term, Chris.
You've got to know. I mean, I can just sort of feel them clicking off that we're going to get tons of email of people saying, this guy doesn't understand the border. Why should we be dealing with Central America's problem? We can't import the problem. They've got to deal with it there, and our border has to mean something.
We can handle this problem, is what I'm saying. We've handled what Emma Lazarus famously called the wretched refuse of your teeming shores a long time ago, and a lot more people than this. Long-term, the most effective legislation, Chris, passed concerning immigration wasn't an immigration bill at all. It was Bill Clinton's greatest act, passage of the North American Free Trade Agreement, which put the Mexican economy on the road to prosperity.
Yeah, interesting point there by George Will here, where he says the greatest accomplishment of the Clinton administration was the NAFTA deal. But and call me a populist, call me a lot of things. Just call me Kevin Miller at 580KIDO. But here you have NAFTA, in my opinion. I've seen the manufacturing jobs go to Mexico and then Guatemala and then China, and they've left places like Peoria and Boise and San Francisco and others. We've transferred our wealth to them. Now, Will, it's interesting here at 580-5436, where George Will is talking about absorbing all these kids. And over the weekend, there was a story in the Washington CBS affiliate. Why they're covering things in Idaho, I don't know. But Governor Otter saying, look, we don't want the illegals here. We've had people make these false accusations that at the Orchard Training Complex, the illegals are there. And it's interesting when you talk to people and you try and be rational and you say to them, look, it's not there. The illegals are not in Idaho. And then we have this national story that there are 8 illegals here, and everybody takes a shot at Governor Otter. You know, there's a reason why the Republican Party, conservatism, is in trouble. And sometimes you have to admit when you're wrong. And I am not a perfect person. And I do my very best, and I'm sure that you do your very best, to admit when you're wrong. But to sit there and continue to have this distrust of the government, the distrust of the governor. Look, it's one thing to disagree with someone on a political issue. It's another to say, well, the illegals are here and he's going to let them in. It's simply not the case. Now, we have George Will basically stating that it's our duty to allow these 20 kids per county in. Well, what do you say to the folks that are unemployed? What do you say to the people that can't find work, haven't been able to find work? And really all this is, and look, you can get rid of national identity. You can get rid of culture. You can get rid of all the buzzwords. And not that I disagree with it, because I think that we need to have borders. We need to have culture. People need to speak the language. They need to be proud to be here and not look at this country as some big giant ATM. But really what this is, at 580-5436, is simply whether you want to call it genuflecting, whether you want to call it, how should I put this in a politically correct way, whether you call it genuflecting, whether you call it bowing, whether you call it taking orders from big business, from the Chamber of Commerce, from other places that have said, we need cheaper workers. We need cheaper workers. The whole fallacy of bringing in high-tech workers, and thank goodness that we've had the experts on this program to dispel those myths and say, look, if you're a guest worker coming in from India or some other country, these corporations can pay you well below what they pay Americans. Well below. And look, Dave Petzl and I will get into this next half hour here, but the idea of crony capitalism, the idea of unfettered capitalism, I always love it when the big bad capitalists get into trouble and they look to the government, which they detest until they need money to bail them out. Look at General Motors and everything else. And where, you know, to quote the Bill O'Reilly line, who's looking out for you and me? It's not the Democrats. It's not the Republicans. All they want to do is bring, here we say it, these people in, get them on the dole, get them on the federal government. You're going to pay for it until you have a job, and then it'll be time to freeload. And so they can work people at slave wages so they can have the economy blowing up. Folks, take a look at the stock market. Take a look at the stock market right now. All-time highs. How can it be, and I ask Dave Petzl this every week, how can the stock market be blowing up when we have so many people out of work? Holland Cook, noted media consultant, going back and forth with the conservatives on the Kevin Miller Facebook and talking about all the jobs that have been put in. Do you know the new thing now with the unemployment? Is the reason why we have the unemployment that is low is we've opted people out and we're counting part-time jobs. Yeah. We go to Bob in Boise with Kevin Miller at 580 KIDO. Good morning, Bob.
Hi, Kevin. Good morning. Just want to make a quick comment on Ed Klein's book, Blood Feud. I just read it yesterday, and it is a must-read. I'll tell you, he really chronicles the total manipulation of the president by Valerie Garrett, and the thing is just you can't put it down once you start, but it is a must-read for everybody. It chronicles the incompetence of the administration.
It's a fairly easy read, too.
Yes, it is. Yeah, but Mr. Klein did a magnificent job in chronicling the total lack of competence of the administration. But I just thought I would share that with you because it's a great book, must read.
Bob, thank you.
Yeah.
All right, we appreciate it. Let's keep rolling here. Triple digits. Larry Gibbard will have the latest coming up. Kevin Miller in the morning. Let's get you to work safely and on time.
The Treasure Valley's exclusive home for Kevin Miller. KIDOAM.com. 580 KIDO. Idaho's place to talk.
580 KIDO. So you've got the comments of George Will, the great betrayal of American workers. We have an email from Tea Party Bob. Kevin, for sure I said there were illegals there. I never said there were illegals at the Orchard Center, and I do not remember hearing anyone else say that. Check the podcast. Well, look. Look, Tea Party Bob, first of all, I respond better to the calls, not the emails. Second of all, after listening to this program 4 hours each and every day talking on, I can tell you what the mood was. Ray Amaya will tell you as well. We take the phone calls, and people have said, I don't know how many emails and how many people called us and emailed us and alleged that the illegals were at the Orchard Center. But they're not. And when they are, or if they are, we would report it. In fact, Ray Amaya took it upon himself, spent his own gasoline money to go out there. Ray Amaya called Colonel Marsano. And guess what? They're not there. The governor says no illegals. And so we have this report that there are 8 in the state of Idaho compared to Texas, Nebraska. I think that's pretty good. And sometimes, and I'm guilty of this in my personal life, as well as my professional life, that you don't give people credit for doing something good. I think it's a good move that the governor did it. I really do. And the idea that George Will says that we should absorb people. Look, you've got the church, the Catholic Church. Many of you know I'm a Catholic. You know, telling us, what would God do? What would Jesus do? Well, do you bankrupt yourself to pay for other people? I think that's an important question. And now we've got this article, and I think we tweeted it earlier today, from our friend Dr. Corsi, who basically says, look, the people crossing the border believe that the president will, in fact, take care of them. And you have other people in Washington saying the president now wants to be impeached. Now, I don't know about that, and maybe I should have asked Ed Klein about it. Really didn't have anything to do with his book. But apparently, and this is what we're hearing from Washington, that the president believes that he's going to lose the House. He's throwing everything to the Senate. And in doing so, he wants to make sure that he has a strong effort to rally his base. Now, he thought that getting Bo Bergdahl back, which we've urged him to do for several years on this program, would do it. That backfired. Bringing in the illegals has been a bad move for the administration. And now the latest attempt, again, we're hearing this from Washington, on whether or not he should be impeached, as if that could happen. And people are saying, bring it on, let him try and impeach it. Sometimes in life, and maybe it's because when we were kids or when we were younger, we understood this, sometimes it just doesn't matter. You ever see that movie, Hamburger Hill, when the Viet Cong kept going after these guys, and they took the hill, and they had to retake the hill, and what was at the end of the movie? It just didn't matter. That's really what it comes down here to, and the issue involving whether or not the Republicans should do this or not. And, well, what are you going to impeach them for? Well, you could talk about not enforcing the borders. I believe that's in the Constitution, that the president's duty is to enforce the borders. You could talk about, well, he's covered his tracks with the IRS. They're still dumping hard drives. We could do that. We could look that over. But the real travesty here is the loss of representing you, the loss of representing the people. Where do we have it in Congress? Where do we have it in the Supreme Court? Where do we have it anywhere where we say, you know, we need to look after our fellow Americans. We need to bring jobs back to this country. Good career-enhancing jobs. Not employing people to support the greedy, grubby corporations that want to replace Americans. Can you imagine going to school to become an engineer, a software engineer, or something really mentally stimulating like that, and then all of a sudden you're replaced by Billy from wherever because Billy's cheaper? And the fallacy, that's a great way to encourage American kids to be involved in math and science. We don't have enough of them, so let's bring in Timmy from wherever. Now, our politicians need to represent us, right? That's a concept that shouldn't be lost. Quickly to traffic now. 580 KIDO coming up next. News about your money with Dave Petzo. Triple digits today, as Larry said. Stay here.
Soothing Meridian.